Shadowcast, Episode 5. This week's story, Stage Fright, by Pete Malicki. Pete Malicki started writing at the age of 18 and won a nationwide playwriting competition in his homeland of Australia with his first ever play, The New Inhabitant, at age 20. He's gone on to complete 5 full-length novels, 20 plays, and dozens of short stories, poems, and articles for newspapers and magazines. He founded Helm Publishing in Australia and released his first title in May 2009, a full-length novel called Eyes and Knives. He also likes cheese and vampire-zombie hybrids. And now, on to the story. Stage Fright, by Pete Malicki.
I really don't know. At the time, I didn't know what really happened, you know? I think everyone just thought it was supposed to happen like that. Who would have suspected? We'll ascertain for ourselves what everyone else was thinking. Why do you think he chose to bring you out? Why did he choose to bring me? Hell, I don't know. Maybe he picked me at random. Maybe it was the seat I was in. He could have picked who he'd call up by where we were sitting, you know? I was directly behind and a little to the left of the girl. I don't know if he thought it'd look more realistic if he got people close to one another, or if he just liked the look of her and pulled me out because I was where I was. Was anyone else with her? Did you come in with anyone? Dunno. I mean, I didn't look like it. I wasn't paying her too much attention because she was just one of the crowd, but I didn't see her talking to the people around her or holding anyone's hand or nothing. If I had to guess, I'd say she was alone. Do you think she was an attractive girl? Why are you asking me that? Just answer the question. That was an answer.
Look, no one's trying to frame you or incriminate you. It's a simple, straightforward question.
All right. Yeah, she was pretty cute. I didn't really see her till she was up in front of everyone, but yeah, I reckon she was pretty cute. She certainly didn't look scared or nothing. I really don't think she had any idea what was coming for her.
Would you say that the two knew each other?
Nah, I'm pretty sure she didn't know him. He asked her to come join him, right? Then she got up and walked over and asked her if she knew who he was. She said she didn't. But we all thought she was just another actor. We all thought she was pretending not to know him.
What did he say to her when she was on the stage?
He asked her if she was into the message he was trying to tell. How does the play sit with you so far? Do you agree with my sentiment? How did she respond? She said, not really. Probably one of those die-hard theater fans or something. I'm not so big on it myself, you know. I don't really go that often. I usually prefer the movies, because there's more action and excitement. But I guess tonight was different. Do you think it was possible he killed her because she didn't like his play?
I don't know why he did it. Do you think someone really do that? I can't imagine you'd actually go and murder someone just because they didn't like your stupid little play. I reckon he was just a psycho, and he wanted to take the opportunity to top someone in public without anyone knowing he was really topping them. The ultimate power trip, you know?
Okay, let's back up a little here. I want you to tell me more about the play itself. What was it about?
It was one of those soliloquies. He wrote it himself. At least, I think that's what the brochure said. The whole time he was just slamming people and slamming theater, you know? Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and general riffraff, to my play. Let me start by telling you that the show you are about to see is far from the stereotypical one. You may not know it, but you have actually come to watch me tear apart the world that, by virtue of your presence, you clearly all love. I will be pulling at the fabric of theater until it rips apart, and the reality beneath is revealed for all to see. Let me start with you, my dear audience. I hope at least some of you came prepared to be challenged and confronted.
What exactly do you mean by that? Give me some examples.
You, the audience, are so thirsty to emote that you are already laughing and crying inside your heads. Have you ever noticed how strongly people react to the stage? I could impersonate a monkey, and half of you would be rolling around, unable to control yourselves. He was really strange, you know. He started by telling us how when we see something in the theater, it becomes twice as interesting as in reality. Like, he did this monkey impression, running around the stage and making funny noises and stuff, and everyone was enjoying it. Then he stopped dead and gave us all the evil eye.
Thank you for proving my point. What I was just doing wasn't funny. You're only laughing because it was done in the context of theater. I mean, ask yourselves this honestly. Would you laugh if you saw someone doing that in the office? I didn't like it. He was being really preachy and insulting. I don't think people go to the theater to watch some jerk paying them out. But then again, there was a ring of truth to some of the things he was saying. Like, people do go pretty bananas when they're watching a comedy. They'll laugh at anything. But let's move away from you for a while. If we want to be insulting, we could just as easily look towards center stage.
Here I am, trying to get a message across, and I'm doing it by being a total arse to the people I'm supposed to be influencing.
Yeah, I'd be hesitant to actually call it a play. It was more like a public whinge, a gripe against his pet hate.
I haven't been an active member of the theater world for very long. This is, in fact, my very first play as both an actor and a writer. I can only thank the organizers for letting me be a part of this night of entertainment. Is it just me, or is every single theater director to grace the earth a complete and utter hack? Why is it theater is always so goddamn over the top? Do we deal with real-life situations in such ridiculously exaggerated ways? Oh, really? My son is dead? Officer, please tell me this is all some kind of bad dream.
I'm sorry, ma'am. The police force has no sense of humor.
No!
You mentioned earlier that he withdrew the murder weapon as part of his performance.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about the other plays you've all just seen. Unfortunately, I missed those ones. I was busy sharpening my knife out back.
He pulled it out and ran it across his throat to imitate himself committing suicide. You know, like he was saying that the theater was so bad he had to top himself because of it?
How did the people react when he did this?
Oh, come on! Am I really that bad? I pretend to kill myself and all you can do is laugh? I can't blame you, I suppose. You'd never suspect I'd actually do something like that, would you? Can you really imagine me lying on the stage in a pool of my own blood, kicking my feet out and gasping for breath?
I think this was his tactic. The more he talked about what he was about to do, the less people believed he would actually do it. I mean, who does that? What kind of sick, twisted fuck would actually stab someone in a room full of people? We trusted him.
But you all trust me, don't you? I'm an actor, standing on a stage. I'm not going to kill anyone, am I? Let alone myself. This brings me to another one of my pet hates. Those plays which pretend to be real, but they're really not. You've all seen them, I'm sure. The show's going on per normal. Then all of a sudden, someone falls over and pretends that they've had a heart attack and died. Then the rest of the play is about the remainder of the cast all pretending that they're dealing with this real-life situation. And at the end of it all, lo and behold, she's okay! It was all just a part of the show. I want a show of hands for anyone who's actually been fooled by one of these stupid plays.
How long had the play been going before he asked you to come up on stage?
I don't know exactly. They were so short, you know, with the 15-minute time limit and all. At a guess, it was about 6 minutes in. A little bit after the halfway point, I guess.
I'm going for a record here. I bet you that I can do a better job than all those other hacks. Tonight, we will start with something called reality theater. And I am willing to make a bet with someone here that my show will be the realest show you've ever seen. Do we have a gambler in the audience?
I didn't know he'd pull me up there. I probably wouldn't have put my hand up if I'd known. It's not that I'm shy or nothing, but I don't like some twat making an idiot out of me in front of a bunch of strangers. It's 50 bucks is a good bit of cash for doing nothing, though. I don't know what I'd have done if I'd have known he'd pick me.
Well, that's quite a lot of gamblers for one night. But for those of you who don't have their hands up, what do you call paying $20 to watch a bunch of unknown plays by unknown playwrights? Optimism? or gambling? You tell me. Alrighty then. You, sir, near the aisle, why don't you come up here and join me in the spotlight? There could be 50 big ones in it for you. People must have thought I was an actor. They all kind of mumbled as if to say, oh, he's been sitting there in the audience the whole time. He must be an actor, because the guy on stage is trying to fool us. Tell me exactly what he said to you while you were on stage. Welcome to my stage, my good sir. It's a nice view from here, isn't it? Light's a little too bright for you? I just nodded. I didn't really know what to say, you know, because I felt like I was intruding on some place I shouldn't be. So you're a gambling man, then, eh? I'm not afraid to have a bit of a punt myself. Would you like to take home $50 with you? I said, sure. Of course I'll take the money. Of course you would. Now, because I am so confident with my little bet, I'm willing to give you 10-to-1 odds. If I win, you give me $5. If I lose, I'll give you 50. Does that sound okay? So I said, yeah, I guess so. I'll bet you that I can make at least 2 members of the audience call the police. And if they do, you owe me a fiver. If no one, or only 1 person calls the cops, I'll give you 50. Do we have a deal? All right, then. Sure, we have a deal. Shake on it. Then I shook his... It's okay. Take your time. Another smoke? Yeah. Let's all thank our special guest. He graduated from the best acting school there is, my friends. The School of Life. Are you okay to continue? I can give you 5 if you need it. Nah, I'm good. Let's get it over and done with while it's still fresh in my mind. Very good. I have a few more questions for you then. I know it's not easy talking about this, but I want you to go forward to when the girl went on stage. Tell me what happened. I don't know about you guys, but I'm certainly getting sick of me being here. I wouldn't mind collecting that fiver for my friend over there and grabbing myself a beer. If it's okay with you, I'd like to pick someone else from the audience. He looked around at all of us, then his eyes settled on her. He smiled at her, I remember that. He looked like he had found someone he liked the look of, you know? You there, would you care to join me in the limelight? She looked hesitant at first, kind of like I was, but I think she was happy to get up there. He asked for her name. Pleased to meet you. Now, I want to confirm something for the audience. You don't know who I am, do you? I want you to tell these wonderful people, in all honesty, if you've ever met me before. Like I told you, she said she didn't know him. Even I thought she was part of the show. Like, I thought he'd got me up there to throw people, but I guess... Please try to continue. What did he say to her next? How does the play sit with you so far? Do you agree with my sentiment? She said he made some fair points, but he was too close-minded. There was more to theater than his play made out. Well, that is true. What I've said in my little monologue is far from balanced, isn't it? Not everything in the theater is overacting and cliches and poorly disguised plot twists. He asked the audience if they'd had enough of him. Did they think he would win his bet with me or not? Oh, come on! I'm beginning to think my 50 isn't safe anymore. Look, here's an idea. I'll give you, and you, $1 each if you call the cops for me. That'll still leave me with enough of my winnings left over to buy a beer. And then what did he do? Is that when he withdrew his knife again? Don't worry, kids. It's only rubber. I wouldn't hurt an old friend in front of you guys. And then? He put his arm around her waist. It looked really rough, but everyone thought it was supposed to be that way. She was like, hey, that hurts. And he started dragging her off stage. Was she struggling? Calm it, girl. You'll scare the audience. Yeah, like crazy. It looked like some brilliant acting from the stands. But we know now that she wasn't acting, don't we? Tell me what happened next. As soon as they were off stage, she started screaming, really big screams.
It really sounded like... Please continue.
We couldn't have known. We didn't know what was going on. We trusted him.
He stabbed her 18 times in the chest, face, and arms. The forensics say she was most likely still alive when he came back to take his bow.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. It's going to be a bitch getting this out of my shirt.
Is that when he gave you the $50 bill?
Where's my pal in the audience? Looks like I bloody well owe him $50.
Yeah. At the time he approached you, did you suspect that he might have actually murdered the girl?
No.
Did he say anything when he handed you the money?
You earned every cent of this, brother.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
He said congratulations or something, okay? Give me a break, will you? Jesus Christ, I've just seen a girl get killed in front of me. I'll be seeing you.
Tell me one more thing, if you would. Did he say anything to you while you were on stage?
I already told you what he said.
But did he say anything to you personally, after he thanked you?
Let's all thank our special guest. He graduated from the best acting school there is, my friends. The School of Life. I don't think so. Thanks for helping out, buddy. I don't think this would have worked without a stooge.
Other people who were there seemed to remember differently.
This chat will make it look like we're old friends having a quick catch-up, but you know, as well as I do, that we're not. He wanted to make it look like I was an actor by talking to me as if we were familiar with each other. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick secret.
Was that it?
I'm going to pick a girl from the audience, and I'm going to take her backstage. It will look like it's part of the play, but it isn't. I'm going to cut the little bitch into 100 pieces. I'll slice her and stab her until she's nothing but a bloody, gory mess. He said something like, "You're the only one who knows this, and you're the only one who can do anything about it. All you have to do is stop me."
A girl has been brutally stabbed to death in earshot of more than 100 people, and the murderer has escaped. I want you to answer me right now. Did he say anything else to you?
Thanks again, pal. Don't forget, you can save her. He told me to enjoy the show. It's going to be one hell of a show.
When I originally received this piece, I was completely daunted by it. Not only is the entire story written in dialogue, but not once in the entire piece is there a he said or she said, only very well conceived transitions from one character to the next. The key really was trying to pull off those in audio, which I think I mostly did. Perhaps some of you could leave a comment on the site and let me know what you thought. Did you like the story? Did you hate it? I really want to know, and guess what? So do the authors. Nothing, well, other than money, compares to the sense of accomplishment an author feels when he or she is able to see that their work has pleased the audience. So please, if not for me, then for the authors, leave a comment and tell them, and me, what you think. We are 5 episodes in, and those of you who have subscribed may have noticed that I have moved from a bi-weekly format to a weekly format. I did this for 2 reasons. Number 1. I'm terribly behind already. I have a stack of submissions 10 weeks deep. I need to get aired. And doing an episode bi-weekly was going to take me 20 weeks. And only then if I put a stop to submissions, which of course I have no intention of doing. Second reason is I really want to see this thing grow. And it seems to with every episode. So it just goes to figure, by doing more episodes, it'll grow faster. Right? Okay, so here's the catch. It's becoming way too much work for one person. So I'm putting out a call for volunteers. If any of you loyal listeners are interested in helping, please drop me a line at shadowcast@mchsi.com. There are any number of things I could use help with. The big obvious one is promotion, which I seem to spend about 4 to 5 hours a day doing. If you love this podcast like I do, blog about us, tell your friends,
or Twitter tweets into the Twitter sphere about how great the podcast is. Also, reviews on iTunes will help us move up to a more prominent position in the search results, which is always a big help. Let's see, what else? If you think you could help with the reading for the podcast, I would be particularly interested in hearing from the women out there, as my female voice leaves much to be desired. But guys, don't be discouraged. I can use you as well. Send me a sample of your reading, and we'll go from there. We're always looking for art, so if you have a talent for that, let us know. Same goes for the background music, sound effects. In short, if you think you can help, we'll try and find something for you to do. And if you can't, or if you don't want to help with the process, then there is one other thing you can do. Donate. I desperately want to become a paying market. But the only way that can happen is if you, the listener, donate. So please consider it. Every little bit counts, and there's a PayPal link provided on the site. I don't even think there's a minimum amount that you can donate, so send me your pennies. We have some very big things coming up for you guys, and I couldn't be more excited about the authors who have graciously sent us their stories. Some of these you are going to instantly recognize. They're award-winning authors, who I will, for now, keep to myself. I will throw you out this little nugget. In a couple of weeks, I will be recording the prologue of Lee Pletzer's new book, The Last Church. Lee was kind enough to send me a copy of the book, and I agreed to record the prologue, as well as a quite excellent short story by him. I only just received the book, so I have not read it all yet, but from what I have read so far, this is one you must go get at once. So get over to Amazon.com and pick up a copy today. Lee Pletzer's The Last Church. A link has been provided on the website, and I've also added a link to Pete Malicki's work as well. And you really should go check out his book, Eyes and Knives, which continues to get rave reviews. I believe I will be going and picking me up one of those as well. Well, we've come to the end of another one, but I'll be back next week. And who knows, perhaps I'll not be alone. Perhaps some brave soul will step into the darkness with me. Until then, stay well.